This week, we're going to have a series of lessons on the effectual Bible student. The effectual Bible student. And I'm thankful for the pastor to allow us to do that this week. It's not your ordinary Bible conference. It's a Bible class. And we're going to look at four major things. The spiritual requirements for Bible study. Tips for daily Bible study. Sound rules of Bible interpretation, which is really the heart of our course this week, and then using Bible study tools, four major sections of our course. And every Bible-believing, born-again child of God needs this course. I wish I could teach this in every church, every home, every private life. And that's why we're videoing that this week, to make it available. We plan to put this on the website, to make it available as a free download, to make it available in every way that we can, because this will help you. This is the result. This course is the result of 41 years, the product of 41 years of very serious Bible study. And I've been able to refine and refine and refine this course over the decades. From my personal Bible study experience, from all the books that I've read on this particular subject, we have a course called the How to Study the Bible, which is a much more in-depth course than we'll do this week that we published for decades. And I have published many editions of that as I've refined this. And this is sort of the summary, the essence of the things that I would like to teach to every Christian to help them become an effectual Bible student. And we need this. We need this to know the Lord. That's the first purpose of the Bible, is to know the Lord. It's a revelation of God. We can learn things about God in the creation. And I love to do that. I love to study nature. And I asked my grandchildren, and they're all little. The youngest at that time, I think, was seven. The oldest was seven. And I asked them, what does a flower teach us about God? And they came up with some great things, little bitty children. And they said, well, God loves beauty. Well, obviously. And God is powerful to make that, you know, wise and all these things. We learn a lot about God from the creation, but we cannot learn the heart of God from creation. And creation is fallen, so there's a corruption of the revelation of God in the creation today because of the fall and the curse. And we can't learn about salvation from creation. We need a revelation. And the first reason we need to understand the Bible and be an effectual Bible student is so we can know the Lord and grow in our knowledge of the Lord, and that's a thrilling thing. We need this course to grow spiritually. It's impossible to grow spiritually apart from the Bible. It's been said the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. My grandmother used to say that. And it's been said that a dirty Bible indicates a dirty heart. It's impossible to grow spiritually apart from a serious relationship with the Bible. And so we have to learn how to interpret it, how to understand it. We have to learn how to become an effectual Bible student, to grow spiritually. We need this course to find God's will. You cannot find God's will apart from the Bible. People can help us find God's will. We can get good counsel, and we should get good counsel and good teaching from men and women of God. But ultimately, we can only find the will of God from God Himself. And that will come from the Bible. It won't come from direct revelation. It comes from the Scriptures, by the Spirit of God interpreting those Scriptures to our hearts. And that's why every young person needs to learn how to study the Bible. Every young person, because a young person, if that young person wants to know God's will, if you want to know God's will, you're going to find it in the Bible. And you're going to have to learn how to be a Bible student. We need this course to help our families. I'm very concerned about the next generations. I'm very concerned to help God's people disciple the next generations. I'm very concerned about my own grandchildren. And to raise disciples for the Lord, to disciple young people, it requires churches and families working together. And it takes both. It takes both. And the church builds, trains good families, trains the parents, helps the young people. And then it's the parents who take that training and implement it in the homes. But all of this, it comes from the Bible. And parents, mom and dad, have to be Bible students to be able to teach their own children and disciple their own children. We need this course to help others outside of our homes. I'm thankful for the man that led me to Christ because he knew the Bible so well. And in his hands, it was an effectual sword of the Spirit. And I spouted off my opinions to him and my philosophies to him. And he could go to the Bible and show me where I was wrong. Right there, he could show me the Scripture. And it was a powerful thing that God used in my life. And every believer needs to be a teacher. Hebrews 5 is a reproof for those that have been saved for a while, but they're still babies, and they're still not skillful in the word of righteousness, and they're still not teachers and helping others. And so we need this course on multiple levels because we need the Bible on multiple levels in our Christian lives. I wish I had been taught this course when I was young. Had the Baptist church I grew up in been a true Bible, a true discipleship church, a discipling church, a Bible training church, I know that my life would have been different, and all the young people I grew up with, our lives would have been different. But our church had almost no impact spiritually in our lives because it wasn't that kind of church. We didn't have that kind of pastor. There's a great lack of serious Bible study today. Most professing Christians are not real disciples. They're not passionate seekers of truth in my experience. And I have a lot of experience preaching in 550 or more churches and a lot of experience. And I've had many pastors tell me that that's true. In fact, my pastor visited a church in Florida. They spent part of the winter in Florida this year. And they visited several churches, just getting a feel for what's happening in Independent Baptist today. They used that as an opportunity for that. Central Florida. They attended one church, and the pastor said, he asked the people to raise their hand how many spent any time at all in the Bible this week or, whatever, this month, I don't know exactly. But asking them to indicate, what they're doing in the Bible, if they're spending any time at all, how much time. And this was his conclusion. This was his challenge to those people that Sunday. He said, I want you to read the Bible. He had one man. He said, I'm going to time this, and I want this brother over here to start reading in John 1:1, and let's see how far we get in 60 seconds. Started reading. I don't know how far they got, down maybe a chapter. I don't know. Then he said to the people, this is what we need to do. Spend 1 minute in the Bible every day. 1 minute! And that's a church that's even trying to do anything. It's amazing. And that's an Independent Baptist church. The biblical shallowness is one reason why most Independent Baptists will be emerging within 20 years. That's one of my points in my book by that title. The biblical shallowness. The ignorance of God's people. The lack of serious discipleship. So we need this. And we've made a Bible knowledge test, that's available at the Way of Life website. Again, at the Bible study section. Bible knowledge test. And the intent is to challenge you as to what you really know about the Bible. We can sit in church for years and years, faithfully in Sunday school, every service, everything that's happening, and remain biblically ignorant. And I want to challenge God's people. And this Bible knowledge test is not an advanced test. This is a basic test. And it might be shocking to you to take this test and see where you stand. And I want it to be because I want to challenge you. And one man said to me who took this test, who he said, what this test did for me is to show me the areas in where I'm weak. What one man said to me that what the Bible knowledge test did for him, Bible knowledge test, we're going to print this in a booklet form with space to so you can answer your questions. This should be at the website soon. And actually test yourself. But he said what this did for me was show me where I am still weak, because it's divided into sections. There's introductory questions. There are questions on Bible geography, questions on Old Testament history, questions on the life of Christ, questions on Acts, the history of the first churches, questions on gospel and evangelism. Every believer is to be an ambassador. We need to know some things to be an effectual ambassador. There's questions on Bible prophecy. A large part of the Bible is prophecy. And then there's questions on doctrine. And finally, there are questions on defense of the faith. God's people need to be defenders of the faith. We need to be able, if somebody says, why do you meet on Sunday? Why don't you meet on the Sabbath? Well, you need to be able to answer that. If somebody says, why don't you believe that a believer can lose his salvation? Why do you believe that eternal security? You need to be able to answer that. And not say, well, you know, my church believes. My pastor could talk to you about that. You need to answer that. And a multitude of other things, which requires a continual education. And so we've designed that Bible knowledge test as a challenge. A challenge. I've often said that the equivalent of a Bible Institute education, a three-year education, is the beginning point for a child of God to really understand the Bible at all, really, and to get something out of it, to interpret it for himself, to really have a fruitful Christian life. That's the beginning point. And failure to be able to be an effectual Bible student is why believers get discouraged in Bible study. You read the Bible, you say, well, I'm going to read the Bible. Preachers say, read the Bible. And you sit there and say, I'm going to read the Bible this year. You start plowing through Genesis, and that's good. That's interesting. And that's a narrative. That's history. And there's people there like Abraham and Jacob and all these things happening to Joseph and whatnot. And that's very interesting. And there's no problem. And then you get to Exodus and the first part of Exodus. And actually, Exodus is still interesting because Exodus is still history. And that's okay. And you're plowing along. And then you get to Leviticus. And you say, wow, that's I don't understand a word's going on here with these offerings. And you get bogged down. You quit because you don't understand it. Because you're not equipped to be an effectual Bible student. And people get discouraged and quit. They say, I just don't understand all this and all these genealogies and things. It's pretty boring. This doesn't make any sense to me. I don't need this. And so you go and read the things that are just the things that are kind of more interesting, like the Gospels, and just the things that you understand better, and you never really make any progress. But it's also a failure in this is why so many of God's people can't protect themselves and their families from error in their churches. It's why they can't test preachers. I'm convinced that the average Bible believer is man-dependent. He's dependent on the man. That he's not interpreting everything for himself through the Bible. That he's not going through life testing everything by the Bible and testing the preacher by the Bible. There's a lot of people in churches. I've preached in hundreds of churches. And there's a lot of people that just sit there during the preaching and just sit there. They don't even look up the verses. They just sit there. And that's the way they sit their whole Christian life. That's indicative of their whole attitude toward the Christian life. They're not growing. They're not testing anything. They're dependent on a man. And that's why if another kind of preacher comes that's more contemporary, most churches are easily led in an entirely different direction because that biblical foundation is not there. And it's one reason why I believe that most independent Baptist churches will be emerging within 20 years, and it won't even be that long. But I'm talking about full-blown emerging biblical shallowness. Effectual Bible student. In 2 Timothy 2:15, I want to look at that by way of introduction this morning. 2 Timothy 2:15 is a primary passage on study of the Bible. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul is writing to Timothy. See, in any passage, you've got to know what is going on here. You've got to know the context. Who is writing? Who is it writing to? What is the reason for the writing? We see here that the Bible is the word of truth. The word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible is a light in a dark world. The Bible is pure truth in a world of lies. That's why I love the Bible. I was a reader before I was saved. I loved to read, but I was confused and I did not know where the truth lay. And I would read one book and I would say, well, that's right. And then I'd read another book and I'd say, well, that's right. I studied Christian Science and I studied New Age and I studied environmentalism. I studied communism. I studied Hinduism. I didn't have the truth. And when I was saved, the thing that I realized was that the Bible is the infallible Word of God, and it changed my life. And I delight in the Bible. And I set out to learn the Bible. It's the Word of truth. We see that understanding the Bible requires work. A workman. Study. That word study is from the Greek word spaldazo. It means to use speed, to make an effort, to be prompt or earnest. It's translated, be diligent in 2 Timothy 4:9. It's translated, give diligence in 2 Peter 1:10. It's translated, labor in Hebrews 4:11. Work. The Bible, understanding the Bible requires work. If you're not willing to put some work into it, you will never understand the Bible. And it's blessed work. It's incredibly fulfilling work, but it is work. In Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 9, we see what is required to understand the Bible and find wisdom. And this is God's plan, and there's no shortcut. God demands first place in our lives. God demands that we put some work into seeking Him and knowing Him. And He's designed the Bible in such a way that it requires real work to learn it properly. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, to cry after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding. This is talking about a passion. What are you passionate about? What gets you excited? Is it a video game? Is it some sports program? Is it some romance novel? What is it? Cry after, lift up their voice. God, help me have wisdom. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Then, only if you seek wisdom as men seek silver and riches, and they seek it passionately. Rich men stay up late at night. They miss sleep, thinking about how to make more money, worrying about how to keep their empire going and how to sell this piece of property or how to start that business and how to cheat somebody or whatever. And they're consumed with finding silver and riches. And the Bible says if you want to have wisdom, you must seek it like that, with that kind of effort, with that kind of intensity and that kind of passion. And there's no shortcut. And if you're not willing to pay that price and be a real disciple in seeking wisdom and learning the Bible, you can't learn it. And so a young person has to make a choice as to what he's going to do with his life and how he's going to spend his time and whether he's going to throw it away on vain things and foolish things and empty things that have no eternal value, or whether he's going to spend his life on wisdom and truth and the will of God. Understanding the Bible requires work, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And we see also in 2 Timothy 2:15 that understanding the Bible requires proper learning so that I can rightly divide the word of truth. And right division, rightly dividing is to rightly interpret the Bible. How to interpret it. And so we're going to learn some basics of that this week. But this is only going to be a starting point. Don't think this week that now I've got it. No, what we're giving this week is some very basic starting points. And anyone at any stage in their Christian life, I think, will learn some things this week. Because this is a serious course. But this is just a starting point, and we're trying to give you some basic tools and whet your appetite as much as anything to really get into the Word of God.